Ron.
Okay.
It's been a long day.
Call Congress back to order. We are in general order day three, and there is amendment to the amendment to be proposed for 17-116. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Page 3, line 101, strike the whole text of the amendment and insert, the plan shall state that unused benefits may accrue on individual and family accounts receiving benefits of this act up to $1,500 on an individual account, up to the sum of $1,500 multiplied by the number of participants in the family account, and up to $3,000 on an account held by a member 65 years of age or older, provided that an application is submitted every year where prior year's funding remains unused. No accrual value shall apply to those individuals receiving Medicare supplemental coverage.
Second.
Discussion?
Well, this amendment to the amendment strikes my handwritten one, which I transcribed in a wrong way. So it all goes in the same place. It gets rid of that first amendment that I made. But the current existing bill has most of this language, but it did not have the portion where it says provided that an application is submitted every year where prior year's funding remains unused. So when we were talking to the Bartlett.
Is that who you're talking about?
Continue.
Okay.
Continue.
What's going on? Congressman Walker?
I was just going to point out, so there's no confusion, that this amendment to the amendment basically cleans up the language. Her original amendment, she put a sentence or two that wasn't there, and the words in the wrong spot. So this is cleanup. So we're voting on the right thing.
Congressman Weimer.
Congressman Walker suggested we vote on this amendment to the amendment, and then I discuss this when we get back to the main amendment. So. I don't know. How does Congress want me to proceed with this? Do you need an explanation of this amendment to the amendment?
I do.
Okay. It's clean up from my handwritten.
Right. And so then, I'm good with the explanation now, because then we'll vote on this, but then we'll vote on it as amended, and then we're ready to go. Supernal. Congressman Supernal.
The way I read a strict reading of it, it looks like it's worded that you could actually be counting the number over 65 twice, because it says multiplied by the number of participants in a family account, the $1,500. I know that's not the intent, but that's what it's written. Because that person would be a member of family account.
Congressman Supernaw, if I would have handwritten this the correct way, that's exactly how I would do that. So it's been suggested we go ahead and vote on the amendment to the amendment, and then we'll still have to vote on the main amendment, and I can discuss it and talk with you about it.
Well, are you going to be able to amend it?
No.
Amend the amendment? So it's going through this way. Mm-hmm. You
might want to check out the other one.
Is it work?
It's not law.
Any more discussion?
Call for the
question. Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment to the amendment signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
One no. Congressman Supernaw. We are now in discussion of the amendment as amended. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Why I'm amending the law, most of the language is the same in the existing law. It adds this additional caveat down here. After the word older, it says provided that an application is submitted every year where prior year's funding remains unused. When we were talking with Tom Bartlett and the Mrs. Gonzalez from WageWorks today, they said that they would like to have direction in the law how they handled people that missed the application date. Say you didn't apply for a year, but you applied the next year and made application and enrolled the following year. They wanted to be very clear that those people couldn't come back and say, oh, well, where's our carryover from 2 years back? With this language in this benefit, it gives them clear direction that these people need, that our members, the people that take the health benefit, need to fill out the application every year in order for their funds to roll. That sentence in the law does that. Now, Congressman Supernaw, I would like to hear what you didn't like about this.
Well, I just repeat myself. The way it's worded, to me, it allows you to accumulate $1,500 multiplied by the number of participants in a family account. And if you had five kids and one guy was 65, you could accumulate up to six times $1,500 by the word. And then you still could accumulate up to $3,000 for the individual member of 65 or older. I think it's like RJ said, it's a pretty remote that would happen, but it could happen.
Can I?
Congresswoman?
Well, it really would depend on who the adult or the guardian or the parent was on the family account. If it's a grandparent that is over 65 years of age and they're taking care of their two Osage grandchildren and they're the one that's making the application for their account, you're correct. Their $1,000, if they didn't spend it for 3 years, or 2 years, would carry over, and they'd be able to carry over their $3,000. They build up to $3,000 in that account, and if they had two grandkids, and each grandkid would carry their $1,500 into their account. If that's how we currently do it. That's how this is currently administrated. But it just puts it down in law that that's how we do it. Before this, it wasn't in law.
Yeah, I'm not reading it that way. When I read it, you can accumulate $1,500 for every member of the family account. Mm-hmm. And you can also accumulate $3,000 for the member of 65, but you've already counted them once in the family unit.
No, it says and up to $3,000 on an account held by a member 65 years of age or older. There's a separation. It talks about individual accounts. It talks about a family account. And then it talks about an account for a member that's 65 years or older.
I still read it the same way. It says and.
We just got kids in.
Well, but back to my point, if you have a grandparent that's over 65 that's caring for their grandchildren, that's the guardian or caregiver of their grandchildren, and they're
18.
Right, up until they reach the age of 18, then that would be considered a family account.
You can't have two accounts.
You want to say?
So, you have a family account if you have dependents. So if a grandparent had their dependents, then they would get to do that. Otherwise, if people over the age of 65 do not have dependents, then they just have a $3,000. They have an account that accrues $1,000 every year up to $3,000.
And also, I'd like to add that Assistant Chief has notified.
This word is just to count $1,500 for every member of the family unit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you're on it, if you have a family account, that means dependents under the age of 18.
Yes, but that man or 65 or woman would be a member of the family account, and she would still be able to go on and accumulate $3,000 after he's already collected $1,500.
No, the accumulation is just for those that are under 65, but I've been notified by assistant chief that per the policy that when you are over 65, that you have a separate senior account and you are not part of the family account, that it's separated anyways. So that wouldn't happen.
Okay, well, I'm going to vote against it. You're not going to convince me otherwise.
Okay. Any more discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I guess I would just like to say right now that I believe that this is a benefit we give to the Osage Nation. It's not a like a head right check or a per cap. It is a benefit that I believe that our members should make application for every year. That helps us to know when their children drop off and turn the age of 18. It helps us to know how many people are staying active with our government when they make application every year. To me, it can prohibit maybe some when they apply every year. It just gives us a snapshot every year of what we're doing. So I think this is the best way to handle a benefit to our people. And I think we're doing a good job and making a stretch to make it an easier process, a more understandable process.
Okay. All right, we're now going to vote on the amendment as amended. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no.
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 Roll call.
Point of order. Please repeat again what we're voting on.
The amendment as amended.
Oh, okay.
So.
First so amendment.
The amendment as this amended. One? That's why she discussed it during the amendment as amended. So now we're back to the.
No, we're.
It's basically the original plus the addition, so it is the amendment as amended. So we're back to it. So a lot of you voted no, so let's start over.
Congresswoman Good-Fox?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
No.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Supernaw?
No.
Congressman Tillman. Oops, sorry.
Did you vote?
Congressman Walker.
No.
He's sitting there.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Okay, the amendment as amended failed.
He's for a one-time sign. Just get it for the rest of your life.
Okay.
That was probably convinced everyone with your notes.
Amendment number two.
They probably followed me and convinced them.
Okay. Amendment number two is.
You're first, Lisa.
Page 3, line 126, after apply, strike the rest of sentence and insert only once to receive the health benefit on a perpetual yearly basis unless the plan terminates relinquishment of the member's tribal membership or death of the member. Discussion. Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This had been discussed in committee, and the virtues or the benefits of a perpetual enrollment where the Osage Nation member signs up one time and stays signed in until the plan terminates relinquishment of their membership or they die. What's the benefit of that? Well, we all are aware of multiple examples of people, particularly the elderly, who would forget to sign up and then lose their benefit, or any accrued benefits they have, and have to start over. Some people consider it somewhat onerous to have to sign up every year. In fact, if they don't sign up, it's usually simply because they forgot, not because they didn't care to receive the benefit. Certainly, that can be a reason you don't want to. I suppose you could decide you don't want the benefit and have your membership relinquished. But the perpetual membership is a benefit for the members because they sign up one time and they'll stay participating members of the health benefit plan. They won't lose their accrued benefit because of being absent-minded and forgot, and they'll continue to get all those accrued benefits as they should. So this is to benefit the Osage Nation members to remove the requirement of an annual membership. The current committee membership substitute that came out to which this seeks to amend stipulates an annual application. So this changes it to one time and you stay an eligible member of the plan henceforth.
Okay, any more discussion? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So there's language in this bill that says an annual application? Has this amended that?
Yes.
That's the only place in the bill that says annual?
My knowledge, I looked twice.
Well, I'll make a comment here if I may. I still believe a benefit is a benefit, and our health benefit plan and card is a good plan and card. I believe that this body passed carryover funds back in 2014, and it had it was a shock. It made the plan value, the amount of money that we appropriated annually, increase. With this language here, I don't know how, if they're not making an application every year, we're going to know that a member dies. We've talked to our membership department several times. I've been on the membership committee two times in a row, and that's what Ms. Oberly, John Maker, knows. Ms. Oberly said she doesn't know. The only way she can know that a member of the Osage Tribe passes is when it's a local Osage and she can find an obit here. But if we have members that we don't know, that we're not familiar with, if they're not filling out an application, touching base with the nation, if they just have to fill out one application and they get this benefit from now on out, there's really no way to designate when to stop sending them money, kind of like head rights have happened. You know, if somebody receives a head right, that money just keeps going into an account until somebody lets them know. So I don't know why we would want to create an issue like that when we know as a tribe we already have issues with instances like these where you just sign up one time. I think we have a good benefit. I think that when people apply for it, that gives them ownership to buy into it. I don't support this amendment. I'll be voting no.
Okay. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I can see both sides of this argument. I agree that it can be a burden on some people who don't have access to internet, fax, a transportation to get to the post office, to get a stamp, to mail it in. I can also see the points you're making. So are you telling us that it has indeed happened, that we have had members pass away and the money has been appropriated to their card? And it's just...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. It could happen. Has it happened?
Well, how would...
Because you're kind of swinging me, but no, I need to know.
How would you know if... And if you had somebody had a family plan and they had an infant.
Yeah.
And they lost that infant. And they live in Washington State. How would we ever know that their family, and it's a horrible example, but how would the administrator, the third-party administrator, ever know that they didn't need to continue to put that money into that account? I'm saying there is no means here at the nation to know when our members pass, other than our local members that we are in this community are familiar with. That's the only way.
Burial assistance. There's an application for
that. There's
an
application for burial assistance if they tap into that.
So,
but how many does that serve a year?
And so my question is has that happened where there's been money put on?
We've never had it.
Well, I don't think that it could because we haven't had it roll over on its own. You have to reapply.
Yeah.
So it hasn't happened.
Right.
But if this passes, it could. Congressman Maker.
So what you're suggesting is that it would invite fraud if someone living way off, a family member passed away, God forbid, and someone kept on using that person's card even though they were deceased. So if someone is deceased, they would immediately stop using their card because they're deceased.
Right? You would think.
So you're suggesting that fraud could happen if...
I'm just saying there's no means without an annual application, there is no means for this nation to know, it's not as trackable if we have a perpetual plan. I would also like to say that I don't believe that Mr. Bartlett, who has been our specialist, I can't remember what Ms. Gonzalez said, but I don't believe that Mr. Bartlett, who has been administrating our health benefit, thinks a perpetual plan is a good idea. Would it make it easier on the third party administrator to do so? Yes, it would. It would lessen their tracking headache. It would make it much easier for them. I don't think it would be cost effective for us.
Congressman Norris, then Congressman Walker.
I'm standing on the other side of the coin, I'd say that if someone's going to commit fraud, they're going to commit fraud. They need to be prosecuted and taken to court and recover the amount of money that they defrauded our nation out of. If a person is going to use a deceased family member's card, what's to prevent them from taking the application of a deceased family member, filling it out, sending it in, getting the card anyway?
I thought of that too.
That's true.
A criminal is a criminal.
I agree.
Okay, Congressman Walker is next, then Congressman Shaw.
That is a scenario that could possibly happen. I just, being one that has filled out the same form over and over every single year, I've always felt like it was unnecessary. And there are individuals, whether it be absent-mindedness, could be incarcerated, whatever life circumstances may have arisen that they didn't get their application submitted. And then there's a possibility that they could fall off and not get the benefit. To me, this relieves, in what is, in my opinion, an unnecessary minor burden of filling out an application every year. Makes it easier for Osage members to get the benefit. And there are a few what-if scenarios that could happen, but a dead person can't spend money, so they may accrue up to $3,000 in an account. It wouldn't be spent, and it would at some point be discovered, and I don't see really much harm in that, so I'm gonna vote yes. I'm in favor of a one-time sign-up and a perpetual benefit for the member. So I'll be voting yes.
Okay. Congressman Shaw. Okay, you're done. Well, I'll just real quick say I was almost sold on when I originally talked to Dr. Shaw when he brought this bill up in session on this very amendment, But, because I have my 6 children, I still have to apply for 4. And like you said, you do it year after year after, at this point, it takes all of 5 minutes. So I don't think it's a huge burden to have to do it for an assistant, but I think that if it was perpetual, that it ties up a lot of money that may not be, I mean, we even heard from Tom Bartlett at one time, I think during session, he said a lot of people just choose, you know, like, what did he say, examples, they got a better job, that, you know, say they don't want to use it. And they have had those instances where people end up not wanting to use it because they don't want to use those funds, thinking that someone else could benefit more, or other tribal members. So I was almost sold on it, but I'm not. I think it's not too burdensome, especially, you know, I've had to fill it out for 6 children, so for the whole 7 of us, but it doesn't take long, and I think it's very simple for a great benefit that we received. And I just, for me, it's the money that it ties up. So that was my, any other discussion? Congressman Norris.
Just one of the thoughts, perhaps it would become perpetual if member reaching age 65 becomes perpetual. All others have to renew annually. I might let you see Medicare. 65, you sign up for Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Congressman Whitehorn.
And I could support that in the future. But I would even say I'll bring it back out in the HUNCA session and amend it to be a perpetual benefit for our elder members, because I do know that it is more difficult for them to get these applications in and know the times and the deadlines. So I would support that. I think it's a great idea. But for the rest of the population, I do support a perpetual plan.
Thank you. Congressman Shaw?
I'll be very brief. I just say remove the obstacles so that our tribal members can access their benefits. Don't leave obstacles to where they have to sign up. This whole notion that you can forget is an easy thing. It's not because it takes too long. It's just very easy to forget when you're busy, whether you're taking care of 6 kids or you're working 2 or 3 jobs. Very easy to forget. If you're otherwise healthy, all the more reason to forget, because you're healthy. You're not really having to go see the doctor, but you'd sure like your benefits to add up. So I say it. Right now, we passed an over $9 million appropriation to fund the health benefit. Let's remove every possible obstacle and let's make this a perpetual plan. So I vote for the amendment.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. I was getting ready to say something, but I won't. Roll call, please.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No.
Speaker Pratt.
No. The amendment passes.
Passes.
The amendment passed. And 17-116 is advanced to third reading after engrossment. Okay. All right. We are at a point for engrossment.
Motion to recess to the call of the chair.
What else is there? Okay. So I'll just let you know. I know we discussed it beforehand, but we have lost a quorum for rules and ethics for engrossment. And so Dr. Shaw is appointed to the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee for the purpose of engrossment during this time. Okay, so all those in favor to recess, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. We're in recess to the call of the chair.
Wait, who'd you appoint?
Dr. Shaw.
Not you. I don't want to do rules for a while.